keeping our marriage strong, even while raising our family. Hi, my name is Trina Glines, and this is Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. This podcast is for those who want to create happiness daily, even among the chaos that marriage and family life will bring. Get ready to elevate your marriage and life today. Welcome back to Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. As always, this is Trina Glines, and we're on week 41. 41 weeks, and my numbers are increasing. I'm reaching more men and women. I get told quite a bit that I actually have quite a few men out there that are listening to my podcasts, and I want to welcome you and thank you for choosing to be intentional in your life as well. So today what I'm going to talk about is actually a question that came in. I had put on my Instagram story asking women, what is something you would like to learn about on my podcast? And this is one of those that came in. I had somebody send how to navigate marriage with young children. And I think all of us who have raised families know what a circus this can be, how challenging it can be. And so I look forward to sharing with you today things that I've studied and found that would be very helpful, as well as what I implemented into my own life and my own marriage. We've been married 28 years and my baby's 18. We had 5 children, 1 daughter and 4 sons, and the youngest is 18. And so we are at a different end of the spectrum. And so it's going to be great to share kind of a wide base of how it was when my kids were all little to where kind of how it is now. I think you can find something in this podcast that will fit your situation, no matter where you're at in raising your family. So first of all, I want to acknowledge and validate that you got married, you fell in love, the two of you, and at some point you started your family. Life will be different after starting your family. When that first baby is born, it changes everything in your life. You now have this new human that has stolen part of your heart and has taken up 99.9% of your time. And so life does change. And so I kind of want to reiterate that and make sure you understand that life with children will be different. It won't ever be like it was before you had children, nor do you really want it to be, because it's only going to get greater. It's only going to get better, I should say. It's only going to get better. And so, but it's messy. It's maneuvering. And something I have studied as well as heard a lot of is when we have those little babies, ladies, that often our attention goes solely to that baby, and now our husbands get left out. So just a warning there, if you find yourself in that place, I really encourage you to finish listening to this podcast and let's go back to the drawing board and make sure that we are putting your marriage, your relationship with your husband at the top of your priority list, okay? But raising a family, a husband and wife, this requires many sacrifices on both parts. Both of you are going to be sacrificing in different ways. It comes with raising a family, okay? But the goal should be to consciously give time to your marriage. It has to be intentional. This means you have to schedule it. It means you have to make it a priority. It means you have to make it part of your weekly to-dos. It can't just be relying on the natural that took place, like during your dating years and before the children came. It may have felt a little bit more natural. Now it's going to be very conscious about it, because the baby's going to scream louder. The responsibilities of raising a family is going to scream louder. So now it's us going, okay, this is going to be a priority of ours, of mine. I want my man to know I love him. I want my wife to know I love her. So the first thing you need to do is you need to remember how this all got started. How did your love story start? The two of you came first. If you can remember this and try your best. Now, in saying this, I know there's going to be, out of the 24 hours in a day, there's going to be more time given to the family. I get that. But the quality of time given to your relationship, to the two of you, needs to be at the top, even if it's short-lived. Because your family will be happier, will function better with parents that love each other. Now, you don't get to spend all day Saturday in bed hanging out and watching movies, or Sunday. You might not get that anymore. But there's ways to still create that connection to where you're filling, your reservoir is filling full. Your relationship reservoir is prospering. You're going, Trina, what are you talking about? Okay, I'm going to get right into that. But first, before I do, I have to mention this. The number one thing you need to do, if you have not already, is read the 5 Love Language book and take the test. All of this is null and void if you are loving your spouse in the wrong love language. And often what we do is we love our spouse in our own love language. That's typically what we will do because that's how love resonates with us. So, like, mine is quality time. And I'll often try to love my man in that love language when really his love language is words of affirmation. So make sure you know and discover your spouse's love language and you are loving them conscientiously every day in that love language. That is a must. That should have been done before you even got married. You should have read that book. In my mind, that book should be read from square one to understand how your spouse feels loved. Okay, now we're going to go into this next little reservoir part. So first of all, this was taught to me by Dr. Denham Slade. And he gave me permission to share this with you. He is an amazing therapist. He's got his PhD. And I feel like we need to hit this point before we can go on to how do you navigate marriage with young children. So I'm talking with my hands because that's how I talk. And I wish I had a whiteboard right now that you could see. So I'm going to try and describe this to you, but you're going to have to try and picture it in your mind. So we each have our own reservoir. You've heard me in previous podcasts call it our well. Our well needs to be full and we're often sucked dry. Well, he uses the word reservoir. So you have picture a reservoir. And a big hose, a big inlet from the top coming in, filling that reservoir. And then there's another hose outlet going out that's going into the relationship reservoir. And then you have your spouse sitting over here on the side and he has his little reservoir. So you each have your own personal reservoirs that have this inlet coming in, filling it up, and then you have this outlet coming out, going into the relationship reservoir. And then, just to let you know, then below that is the family reservoir, and you take from that relationship, and you have two outlets going into that family reservoir. So basically, that's where it starts. If your personal reservoir is not filled, is not constantly being refilled back up, you will have nothing to give to your relationship. So first we have to start with ourselves, taking care of ourselves. Now I recognize there's a lot of self-care movement going on. Some take this to the extreme and they start to neglect their responsibilities and their family. That is not what I'm talking about, okay? This is you making sure that you do have some self-care in your life that allows you to be the best version of yourself, that lets you remember, I am important, what I need does matter, and I deserve to have the time to do that, okay? So this is all from Dr. Slade, so I would encourage you to do this exercise. I actually did this exercise, and I really learned something. I'll share that with you. So he said, write down 10 10 fillers. 10 of your own personal fillers. What fills you? Your own personal fillers, okay? So I started to do that. I started to write them, and I couldn't get them. I couldn't get 10. And so I asked him the question, and I said, is the fact that I can't fill out 10 self, you know, filling my well, telling me that I don't do enough for myself, and that may be where I'm feeling that exhaustion, that I'm feeling the taken from? And he's like, absolutely. So that was kind of a moment of reflection there for me. So I'm going to give you some just examples, and I'm going to kind of come at it from those of you that might be raising young kids, okay? Because our self-care is going to look totally different than what it looks like for me right now. My baby's 18. It's going to look different. That's why I'm always saying marriage is maneuvering. It's messy. It's always maneuvering because things are always going to change, okay? So your self-care now, raising a young family, will look a lot different than mine does currently, okay? And ladies, I'm still not good at it. I'm still learning. It's a work in progress. So your list might be getting ready, having a shower, taking 5 to 20 minutes. And I mean it, when you got little babies, 5 minutes to study in the morning, something that you want to study or read or meditate, doing yoga. And maybe your yoga is like a 20-minute yoga while the kids are down for a nap. Maybe you're waking up a little bit early. Working out can be something that fills your well. That is for me. That works for me. And I can't go to the gym. For me personally, I have too many things. I shouldn't say I can't. I choose to not go to the gym anymore because it took too much time. And I have so much going on now with my business. I work out at home. I bought a bunch of different hand weights. None of them match. I put them under my bed and I use YouTube, and I use YouTube for yoga. My husband and I have started going to the gym in the evening once or twice a week to do a fascia rolling class. So little things like that where you can fill your well. Maybe one night a week, ladies, you ask your husband if he will be totally in charge of the kids, getting them to bed, and give you a little time. It may be an hour. Maybe it's 2 hours. What are you going to do during that time? Are you going to read? Are you going to have a bath? Are you going to shop? Are you going to, you know, just get out of the house? Are you going to work out? Something like that. Allowing yourself, knowing that you are important enough to ask your man, hey, hun, I need one night a week. That's okay to ask for, okay? Maybe it's watching a favorite show, going for a walk. Maybe you could be one of those women that to fill your well, comes from cleaning your home. I get that. When I get the opportunity and not being interrupted to clean my home, I am kind of an OCD clean type person, and that's really changed a lot since I started my business. I've let things go a lot longer than I ever have before. And I've, guess what? I'm alive. It's amazing. I've been able to let go of something, and it was good. But I actually do fill my well when I have a clean home. Maybe organizing helps you, fills your well. Maybe cooking, writing in your journal. What is something you loved before you got married? Did you have an art that you liked? Something creative, music? Do you still do those things? If not, why? Why would you give up on those things? If they were something that you felt connected to before you got married, just because you got married and started a family doesn't mean you have to disconnect from the person you are. Yes, it won't look the same. Yes, there will be sacrifices, but you don't have to sacrifice it all because you will be a better version of you if you are taking time to sit down and play the piano for a little bit, if that's something that fed you, if you love to paint. It was so great. I had a great example of this. I had one of my ladies that took my Taming Jane Academy Live course. As I would be teaching, she would be there painting. And that's the beautiful thing about multitask alerted beings. We can do more than one thing at a time. And she would be painting. And I thought it was so great that she has stayed connected to that joy of hers. Ladies, we don't have to disconnect from everything just because we start a family. Okay? Maybe you like to read. Maybe you like to listen to audiobooks, maybe podcasts, maybe my podcast and other podcasts. Maybe this is something that fills your well. That is awesome. I would like to add another one. Ladies, breathing. For us as women, we need to sit and breathe because we take such shallow breaths and are always on 100% mile, going 100 miles an hour. Oh my goodness. So make sure we're breathing. So these are just examples of what your list might look like. But I would encourage you to make a list of 10 personal fillers that will fill that reservoir. Because as you take care of yourself, that allows you to be a better version of you. And if you don't take care of yourself, now your reservoir is empty. It's being sucked dry. You have nothing to give to your relationship. You have nothing to give to your relationship. You're done. You're spent. Okay? So you have to fill you first before you actually can fill that reservoir below you, which is your relationship. And it's really important that we understand the importance of us being in charge of our own happiness, us creating our own happiness. Many women, I was one of those, got into my marriage and I expected my man to create my happiness. That is so unfair. No one should be in charge of your happiness but you. All right? So you filling your well, being able to do some of these things for yourself is actually going to allow you to create your own happiness. Now, Dr. Slade's challenge for us when once we filled this out was to try to do 3 of these things a day to fill your reservoir. Just pick 3. And there's been days I haven't done 3. But ladies, I've done 1, and that was 1 more than I would have done had I not had the challenge. So I would challenge you to do 3 of those things a day to fill your well. Your list will be different depending on the ages and stage of your family, of your children, the age that your children are and the stage you are at with your family. They will be different, and 5 minutes is 5 minutes. But I am going to encourage you, you deserve more than 5 minutes. Make sure you are allowing time for you during your day. Even if it's during the kids' naps, even if it's with an infant in your lap that you just fed and is content, and you take a few minutes to sit at the table and draw, whatever it might be, add 3 fillers in a day. Now let's move on into the marriage part of this, okay? How do you nurture a marriage with young children? Well, first, you got to start with giving to that reservoir. You got to give to that reservoir. How do we do that? You're going to write a list of 10 things that fills your relationship reservoir. That fills your relationship reservoir. How do you feel filled with your relationship? What fills you? You're going to write 10 things down. I'm just going to give you some examples here, and I will be honest, many of these are mine. Okay? A text from my man. Sharing with me something he loves about me, letting me know he's remembering me, whatever. A hug and a kiss before work. I'm terrible at this, ladies, because I'm so multitasking that I don't take time to stop myself. But I know when I do, this fills me. Date night, holding hands, talking with my husband with no distractions, time away with my man. Appreciation, when I feel appreciated, as well as when I'm giving appreciation, when we laugh together, having sex, great filler for me, when he listens to me, an incredible filler for me. Here's some other ones, rubbing your feet, maybe that's a filler, flirty conversations, engaging conversations, time, and for me, because my love language is quality time without TV and without phones. That's kind of a big one. We'll talk more about that when we get into dating. So what his challenge was is to try to do 3 of the things from your list a day to fill your relationship reservoir. And when I first thought of that, I thought, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't I be doing my husband's list? Because it should be filling me. And actually, we are in charge of getting our own needs met. This list was how I get filled in my relationship reservoir, things that connect with me. So he's like, no, do those things. Because I guarantee you, if I send a text to my man saying I love you, he's going to send me a text back. That's going to fill me. A hug and kiss before work, I'm going to go and I'm going to get that. Date night, I'm going to make sure we're going to schedule date nights. Holding hands, I'm going to grab his hand in the grocery store. These are things that fill me. I need to be doing them. So he encouraged us, do three of these things a day. Three of these things. And what if you only do one? Well, guess what, ladies? It's one more than you probably would have done, right? So it's okay. But do shoot for three. Do shoot for pushing yourself, all right? You have to choose to be intentional. Happy marriages do not create themselves. A couple who has a marriage that is strong does not happen on its own. People are choosing to be intentional, to make their marriage a priority, okay? So you need to go back now. So those are your first two challenges that I'm going to give you, okay? Go do a list of 10 things that fill your own reservoir, a list of 10 things that fill your relationship reservoir. I'm not going to get into the family reservoir right now because this is about navigating marriage with young children or with any children. Okay, so now as we get into this, how can busy parents keep their marriage a priority? First things first, you need to remember the two of you came first. You have to remember that. The two of you came first. It doesn't mean you're always going to come first. Remember, there's sacrifice now because you're raising these awesome little humans. So there will be sacrifice. But that means that because the two of you came first, we have to be at the top of the list, making sure we are putting ourselves in first, our marriage in first. Because everything else is going to scream plenty loud. They're going to get plenty of tension. But make sure we're scheduling something for that marriage. Okay? So I'm just going to give you some examples of ways that we can navigate our marriage with young children, any children. Date night. First of all, how did you fall in love? You fell in love by dating, right? Dating was fun. It was exciting. You would be at your apartment and your stomach all has butterflies. You can't wait to go out with your man. We get married and we stay dating, hopefully, would be the goal. And then the children come and the dating starts to go away. We should not ever stop dating our spouse. I promise you, having weekly dates is a lot cheaper than counseling. It is. Okay? And be creative. It doesn't have to be expensive. If you're raising a young family, chances are finances are tight. It doesn't have to be expensive. There's so many great resources out there. Oh my word, ladies, I wish I would have had this back when I had young kids. But it started coming out. I don't even know when Pinterest came out. But go to Pinterest and find great ideas on there. There's a blogger / Instagrammer called Dating Divas. Go look at Dating Divas. She gives actually a lot of free content, free suggestions on dating, both on Pinterest and on her Instagram. But her dating ideas, like she has little subscriptions and stuff you can be a part of that aren't that expensive, that are really super creative. And so check out, go outside of your own knowledge. Don't rely on just what you thought and think you know. Go outside. You're going to get some incredible ideas on how to keep dating fun. And dating should be fun. It shouldn't always be serious. Of course, we do need time together to be able to talk about life and things of a serious nature. But you should have once a week where you are dating and going and having fun, okay? Because then what happens is when you're having fun and you're really connecting and you're enjoying each other's company, then for the next week as life hits you and kids are taking all of your time and stuff, that's going to help float you. But if you don't have those good times together, your relationship reservoir is being sucked dry. So be consistent. Put your dates on the schedule, okay? Set rules for your dating. Some examples of rules might be, number one, first, have fun. Have fun. Number two, no cell phones. No cell phones. Oh my gosh. Just go sit in a restaurant and watch couples. And I'm telling you, it's not just the young couples. I see couples way older than I, both on their phones, or one spouse is on the phone and zero connection going on between the two of them. Get off your flipping phones, okay? Number three, don't talk about the kids. Don't talk about the kids. And you're probably thinking, well, crap, that's all we talk about anymore. They're our whole life. Let's learn more about each other. Let's flirt with each other. Let's talk about some engaging, fun conversation. How can you do this? You guys, did you know that there are books you can buy that are really super cheap? And you can actually buy like the Kindle version, so it's on your phone, which means you have to pull out your phone, which means put it on airplane mode so you don't get any notifications while you're using this if you put this on your phone. But there's like 365 questions for couples. Questions for couples. There's an app called the Ultimate Intimacy app. It not only has, you know, starter questions to talk about, it has intimacy questions to talk about. And it also goes into sexual intimacy and playing a game with your husband. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. So there's resources there for you to strike up great conversation. Like there was a time this past summer, my husband and I went out of town for a couple of nights and we were laying out by the pool. We pulled up one of these question things and we sat. I turned my lawn chair to face him. And so we sat and that memory is stuck in my head. I loved that connection moment. And we were just asking each other questions, funny questions. We were asking flirty questions, things that brought, you know, those feelings to the surface. It was awesome. So do that. Go to dinner and make each other blush and share about your past and learn about each other, right? And learn about your dreams and just start some new conversations. Start some new conversations. Okay, so when I recommend date nights, I often hear excuses. I hear excuses a lot. And so I'm going to kind of go through the excuses. First excuse, babysitter. Number one excuse, probably. Where there is a will, there is a way. Now, I recognize every one of you is in a different place in life. For me, where we live and have raised our family, we are in a community that it was fairly easy for me to find a babysitter. I was very grateful. I could find a, you know, 16-year-old girl. I knew her family. I trusted her. So I was able to find babysitters quite easily. And so I appreciate that. But I also know that there's many of you that may live in a big city. You move there for work and you don't know anybody, right? You don't know anybody to even ask. Where there's a will, there's a way. Okay. So there's a few things you can do. First of all, ask around, research. Yeah, if you're going to be like, if you're part of a church group, if you're part of a mom's group, anything, you know, if you start hanging out with friends, you meet new friends and they have families and you can ask them questions, start opening your ears, opening your mouth, asking questions to search for somebody that would be able, that you would feel comfortable with leaving your children. Now, I also, ladies, you've got a way huge advantage over what I had when my kids were way young. You have the ability to put cameras, very inexpensive cameras, in your house, in all of the rooms, and have it connected to your phone so you can see what is going on. That's awesome. Right. So you have technology on your side with that if you struggle with being able to trust people and needing to have that. Okay. But you may not be able to have somebody, a girl in your situation. Maybe it's not going to work. So then, you know, what about switching with a couple? Some good friends that you have, they're in the same situation. They have young kids too. You swap nights. Hey, Friday nights are yours, Saturday nights are mine. And you swap and you take care of each other's kids. make sure that the babysitting is part of your budget. If you do have the ability to get a babysitter, it's part of your budget. You know, when you're making the budget, the line items, put babysitter and pay your babysitter pretty well. Then she will always be available for you. It's worth it. When you can find a good babysitter, it is worth it. It is cheaper than counseling. If none of these are possible for you with the situation that you're in, date after they go to bed. Date after they go to bed. But the thing you have to do with this is be very intentional. Friday night, when the kids are in bed, we're going on a date in our family room. And you order takeout. And you know, get the game out to play or whatever it is you're going to do. You get creative. I would give you tons of ideas, but that will take too much time with this podcast. Go research it yourself. Go look up Dating Divas. Go find things on Pinterest. Also, for those of you that have school-aged children but struggle because of activities and other things going on, which those are more, we'll get into that in just a second, but you can date during the day as well. Date while the kids are at school. Go to lunch together. But those that have to use this scenario in the time frame they're in, this will change as things in your life changes, that you need a date after the kids go to bed. This is the problem, is you will become complacent. And it's very easy. It's like by the time you get the kids in bed, you're tired. You want to go to bed too. So it's being intentional, making sure it's a priority. You need to date your spouse. You need to. It must be planned. So the other question or the other excuse I get is no money. And that's where I say again, go put dating in your budget. Put it in your budget. It's cheaper than counseling. This is as important part of your marriage as anything else. This is not a luxury. This is not an optional line item. This is a to-do at the top of your budget. Whatever it is, put it in that budget, the money for you to be dating, okay? Another excuse would be no time. We don't have any time. Well, this just is a flat-out excuse because we all can make time. We all have that ability. We all have 24 hours in a day. We're all busy. We're all, you know, raising families, working, living this life. We all can find a couple hours a week to spend with our spouse. You have to put it in your schedule. It's not something you can just bump to fit something else. You don't bump your date night. Make it that important. Let your children know how important it is. Let them know and see the consistency of it, because you are showing them the example of what it's going to look like when they get married and their expectations. And when they see my mom and dad are awesome, they go out every week, they love each other. Even when they might complain, you can't go again. You'll hear that, young kids, you'll hear that. They will one day be so grateful. I promise you that. I promise you that. Okay, so now I'm going to move. So that was date night, was one way that you can make sure you're nurturing that marriage while raising a family. Getaways. Now, I had a counselor share with me, I mean, this has probably been 20 years ago. He believed in the 3/7. Every 7 days, go on a date. Every 7 weeks, get a night or weekend away. Every 7 months, get a 7+ day vacation. Now, I understand that is not feasible for all on the 7+ day vacation. If it is, do it. Oh my word, do it. If it's a struggle for you to do that, then at least plan one vacation a year. Make it happen. You plan it, make it happen. Put it in the budget. Save money for this. Find a friend, trade families for trade kid watching. Do something. And let's say you're like, well, I might be able to get away for maybe 5 days. Okay, do 5 days. Don't compare yourself to the perfected version of this. He just had it the 3/7. So adjust it to fit what you can. This is actually something that for me, even among, you know, me, my challenge of learning my man's language and understanding the intricacies of marriage and how to be heard, getaways were a big deal for me. We did a lot of weekend ones, and we did several, you know, week vacations. I needed this. I needed to be reminded that I am a woman and wife. And that's when I would connect to this, was by getting away. So you can adjust it to fit your life circumstances. Maybe you're off and you're in medical school or law school or, you know, some getting a PhD somewhere, and life is just different for you right now. Still, you can try. You can even say, hey, we're going to fly home at this time. See if you have a family member that can watch the kids and take a vacation from that point on, right? So say you have to fly to California to see the family, leave the kids there, and go take 4, 5, 6 days for yourself. Make it happen. Stop making excuses and make it happen. You need this time together. It's how you will reconnect to each other, but also reconnect to the woman and wife that you are. And remember, those came first. Let's see. Reminder. Okay, so we talked about dating, talked about getting time away. And I want to add to the time away. If you can't afford, I'm going to add actually a couple things. I forgot a couple things. We personally didn't use family very often for when we left town like that. I usually got a babysitter. Like I said, I'm in a community. I was able to find girls I really trust. And I preferred them coming into my own home so that they could stay on schedule and the kids didn't feel disrupted. That's just what worked for me. Okay. We did not use family very often. So it was part of our budget to pay for a babysitter. We also paid young married couples. You can find young married couples that are need to make some money, and here they get to stay, you know, in your home, eat your food. It's very, you know, it's very helpful to them. And so you can look and find married couples, young married couples as well. See, the other thing I was going to say about that. Oh, shoot. There was one more thing. It will come to me. But just make it happen. Oh, this was what I was going to say. It doesn't have to be expensive. It's like, okay, I might be able to afford the babysitter, but how the heck am I going to afford, you know, a Caribbean vacation? We just can't right now. That's okay. That's okay. Find something cheaper, right? Go camping. Camping is very inexpensive. You can find things. Quit making the excuse. You also can save money for it. Like I said, it should be at the top of your line items in your budget. So the next thing is, how can we maneuver through this marriage while raising children, right? How can we navigate marriage while raising children? So here you've done your own personal fillers, and now you know the fillers that you want for your relationship. But ladies, how often do we forget? All the time. Because we are givers and adapters. We will give and adapt our needs away. We will give and adapt our relationship fillers away. We'll just, because we'll fit everything else in, because life screams louder. The children scream louder, right? Well, number one, you're human. You're normal. You're totally normal. But let's set yourself up for success. Your marriage is important. Taking care of you is important. Let's set yourself up for success. Put reminders on your phone, on your calendar, to flirt with your man, to send him a text. Put a reminder on your phone at 4:55 if you know your man's going to walk in the door at 5:10. Oh, hubby's coming home. So you can like have this reminder that takes you out of multitasking, and you're like, okay, he's coming home. I'm going to remember this time. I'm going to go up and give him a big hug. And I need that. And allow yourself to get it. Okay, so use reminders, write notes, put a sticky note on your forehead. I don't care what it is, but do something. Remind yourself, because all these great intentions that you set will be given and adapted away. Because it's very easy for us to do that as women, because we will go to taking care of others first. It's instinctive for us to take care of others. So you're going to have to set yourself up for success. So I recommend that you set reminders. Set reminders of what you want. When you set these goals, you have these 10 things that fill you, 10 things that fill your relationship, that you put reminders somewhere that you see them. Maybe you type them out. You put them by your mirror where you get ready so you can look at them on a daily basis. Write a love note for your man on his mirror and lipstick. I mean, just get creative. All right, the next thing, intimacy. First, I need to preface, ladies, if you do not enjoy intimacy, then you need to start right now. You need to start right now to go down that journey of connecting to your sexual being. You can go back and see several podcasts about intimacy. I'm not going to get into that right now, but you are not sent here to service your husband. You are meant to enjoy intimacy, okay? So intimacy is an incredible way for us to connect and stay strong in our marriage. But how often do we're so tired, right? Ladies, you're like exhausted by the time the end of the night comes. You're just like, sleep way outwins often, right? Well, there's a couple of things you can do about this. First, if you and your man can talk about intimacy and talk about what sex provides him and what sex provides you, and you know that, then when your man comes to you giving you signs that he's interested in having sex, you are able to dig down deeper to that thought and those memories or remembering what sex provides him. Because you love this man so much, you know what this is going to provide him, and you've also voiced what it provides you. And so those two things kind of really help in those moments where it's like, oh, I want to, but I'm tired. It really does help if you can have that conversation. The next thing is schedule sex. We schedule dates. We schedule our hair appointments. We schedule, you know, lots of things, piano lessons, soccer lessons, schedule sex. Make it happen. Schedule it like once a week. And I'm not saying you have to just do it once a week. Just have one night scheduled. The rest can be all random, okay? Schedule sex. The connection you receive from sexual intimacy cannot be created any other way. Now, sexual intimacy can look different for many couples, okay? As we age, as we have medical conditions, sexual intimacy is not just intercourse. There's other ways to be intimate with our spouse sexually. So I think it's really important that we understand even that is maneuvering and changing. If you're pregnant, if you just had a baby, if, you know, all these things, there's a way to still connect sexually without it being actual intercourse, okay? And there's also those times in your life that we do have to respect that time in our life, like a woman who just had a baby, right? Like there's a period of time after that. But that doesn't mean you can't sit close to your hubby and love him and let him put his arm around you and still have an intimate moment together like that, okay? But you need to put intimacy as an important priority in your marriage. And if you struggle with that, do what you need to do to connect to your sexual being and then schedule one night a week and then use that. Because ladies, the strongest sex organ in our body is our brains, for men and women. So if you know Thursday nights are gonna be it, then it's like Thursday morning, you wake up like, oh, it's Thursday night. I'm gonna send my man a text. And you flirt and you send songs to each other and you spend all day getting ready for the evening. And it's fun. It's on your mind and it will help you connect to that sexual being. And that's another question I have is flirting. Why do we stop flirting after we get married? That's just stupid. And I'm just as much at fault here. Life starts screaming louder. We give and adapt our flirting away. I used to be a great flirter. I need to work on that. Do any of you ladies need to work on that? We need to flirt with our men. And we want them to flirt with us. And we need to receive their flirting well and not shut it down. Very important, ladies. Okay. All right. The next thing that we can do to navigate marriage with children is, ladies, you need to be in charge of your multitask alertness. Okay. Your multitask alertness causes you to be going 100 miles an hour at all times, and you see everything in past due mode. You've got to have the ability to slow down and be present at times in your life, in your day, in your week with your man. So maybe when he leaves in the morning, slow down, stop, go up, give him that hug. I love you. Have a great day. Maybe it's when he comes home or you come home from work. Slow down. That hug, that connection, you're important to me. Okay. Maybe when your man is wanting to talk to you and share with you, are you multitasking? If you are, he doesn't think you are listening to him. Okay. He speaks a different language than we do. Slow down. Be present when he's talking. Make sure that you are in control of your multitask alertness and not letting it just run you wild, or you're going to miss out on a lot of life. This includes with your children. Make sure, you know, when you're walking through the house, how can I slow down just in my day in and day out? We walk into the house and you pass each other. Slow your step down. Wink at him. Hug him. Kiss him. Do something to connect. This right here, this little part we just talked about, this can be a filler. You just did a filler. You just did one of your fillers, right? So we need to be in control of our multitasking and slow ourselves down. Because you'll never regret creating that connected moment. But you will regret not creating them. Okay? Another way to help with navigating through marriage with young children, love letters, notes. If you listened to my podcast for your New Year's resolutions, you would have heard potty notes, a potty journal, because that's about the only time we get time to sit down to ourselves. And even then, if you've got young kids, you're not going to the bathroom by yourself, are you? You've got kids with fingers under the door or in the bathroom with you. But this is a great way for you to make sure you're giving some attention to your man, to your relationship. So send him notes of appreciation, texts. Write notes on the mirror, dry erase markers in the bathroom. Great idea. It's super easy to get off the mirror, way easier than lipstick. Writing love letters. And in my other New Year's podcast, I talked about the potty journal, potty notes. So you can have a journal in there, or you can have little sticky notes. And when you sit down to go to the bathroom, you write a little note and you stick it on the door, or you open up the journal and write in the journal a little love letter to him, and then leave the journal on top of the toilet. So the next time he goes in and goes to the bathroom, he knows, oh, my wife has left me a note. And he can actually respond, and it can be going back and forth. Great treasure for your children to have when you two pass. I'm just saying that would be a great treasure. So there's two benefits that come from when you share with your man your appreciation and admiration for him. There's two benefits that come from that. First of all, you need to know that that is part of your man's language, is to be appreciated and admired. That resonates with him. It feeds his soul. It is diesel fuel for his truck. It is. It's a big deal. So there's two benefits that come from that. One, when you are taking the time to do this, you are concentrating on the positive to share, which means you're looking for things to be appreciative and admire about your man. That's putting you in a positive state. That's putting you looking and concentrating on the positive. What we concentrate on grows. So number one, that's influencing you big time. You are changing your mindset when you are looking for things to share with him that you admire or appreciate about him. The second benefit that comes from that, his love for you increases. His love for you grows. He's a provider. And when you share what you love about him with him, he wants to provide even more. So his love for you will then grow. Now, I do caution you don't do this expecting something in return, okay? You're doing this because you love your man and you want to give back to your marriage, okay? You expecting something in return may set yourself up for failure. Do it because you want to do it. I promise you it will benefit your marriage and your man will feel a genuine love coming from you, and that will increase his actions towards you, but they may increase in a different way than you would expect. So if you've set this expectation of what should come back to you, you might be sorely disappointed. So do it because you love your man, not because you're expecting anything back in return, please. Another thing that we need to be aware of, and those of you that have really young children, I want you to take this to heart. For those of you that are in the middle of the mess of, you know, young children, older children, learn from my experience, okay? We need to cut back. We have ourselves so busy, so busy. And our children, we tend to keep our children so busy. Now, I am an advocate. I am pro. Children need to be involved in great, wholesome activities. But when we have our child involved in multiples of great, wholesome activities, and you have multiple children, what are you now doing? That is it. That's all you are doing. And they aren't getting to just enjoy being a kid. So cut back. Cut back. We can overdo it with keeping our kids involved in everything. And it's not healthy for them. And it's not healthy for a marriage. So if you find yourself in this place of being way too busy, it's time to go to the drawing board and revamp. What can we rid ourselves of to allow more space in our family to be able to nurture our marriage and our relationship with our kids? Very, 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 very important. All right, the next thing I would really recommend is find an activity that you like to do together with your spouse. Ladies, this is so much fun. Find an activity that you like to do together. So maybe it's a sport, maybe it's working out, maybe it's something in the art, music, maybe it's watching a favorite show, maybe it's hiking, walking, bike riding, yoga, maybe it's reading out loud together, dancing, maybe you like to cook together, pickleball. I mean, there's so many things you could do. I want you to really find something that you would enjoy doing together and then make time for that. It may be once a week. Maybe it will be twice a week. Maybe it will only be once a month. But if you get it on the schedule and you make it happen, then you're being intentional and now you are navigating your marriage way better than you were before. Okay? So find something that you like to do together. So Here's an example. For Christmas, I gave my husband dance lessons, and we are learning the West Coast swing. Now, I have to tell you, I am not a dancer. Zero. Nada. I do not dance. It's not a strength of mine whatsoever. My man actually is a really good dancer. His is more of like a hip-hop, breakdancing type dance, so I thought he was going to like totally just kill it when we went to these dance lessons, and he actually is struggling just as much as me, which was making me feel really good because I was really worried I was going to hold him back. So now we're pretty equal, and it's just something new, and it's Wednesday night for an hour, and we go, and we're dancing, and we're supposed to be practicing at home. We weren't very good about it the last couple of weeks, but I'm going to make him do it with me tonight because we've learned enough moves now that if we don't do it at least once every night, we're going to forget and our dance instructor's going to give us a hard time again. So anyway, I know my man loves dancing. He loves it. And I wanted to provide something for him at Christmas that I'm like, what is something he really loves that I've kind of held him back some because I'm not confident in it and dance was it. And so I'm like, I'm just going to do this. Push myself. I'm pushing myself outside my comfort zone. It's very vulnerable for me, but I made it happen. So little things like that. Find something that you can do. And even if it's not something you love, but you know your man loves, I'm learning. I kind of like dancing. It's kind of fun. And I can't wait till we get it down that we can put on a song and actually really do it and fill the music instead of counting steps. It will be really nice. So find an activity, though, that you like to do together. I've read many relationship books that have talked about the importance of this. And so find something and schedule it. And even if it's once a month, right? If you're at a time in your life more than that is not possible, do it. And even if it's something that the kids are included in, okay? So say you're going to play tennis and they come to the park with you and the baby sits in the stroller and the kids are playing on the playground while you're playing tennis at the tennis park, okay? There are ways to make it happen, but we have to choose to be intentional and schedule it, all right? Okay. Oh, this is a really important thing I wanted to share. Why should you stop living and enjoying life because you got married? Like, if you had one of these activities you really enjoyed doing before marriage, why stop doing it after you're married? Yes, I understand. I get so much responsibility comes with having a family. I've been there. And ladies, learn from my mistake. I did give and adapt everything away. And it wasn't healthy for me. And because of that, I really do believe it's the reason why I deal with some of the health challenges that I deal with. Because I didn't feel my well, so I was sucked dry, went into adrenal burnout on multiple occasions. So feel your well and feel your relationship well. I am not encouraging you to neglect your family. I am not encouraging you to spend more time on self-care than taking care of your family. That is going against your natural DNA as women, and you will never find happiness there. You won't. Marriage while raising kids will be different, way different from the way it was before you had them. But raising these amazing humans is often going to be where we have our greatest joy and our greatest exhaustion. But ladies, if you choose consciously to put your marriage as a priority during these impressionable years of your children, you will enjoy this part of your life so much more. And look at the example you're setting for them. Life will scream louder. The kids will scream louder. Life and the kids will get more time than your marriage will. But the time you give your marriage needs to be quality and it needs to be intentional. You have to choose to be intentional. You have to make it happen. Why, Trina? Why is this important? Because the greatest gift you can give your kids is parents that love each other. It is also the greatest gift you can give yourself. Ladies, life is meant to be enjoyed, not just endured. Your marriage is the greatest relationship that you can work on and that you will ever have. And someday your kids are going to leave. Someday your kids are going to leave. And what's going to be left? If you don't take the time to nurture and navigate your way through strengthening your marriage, through raising a family, what's going to be left when they leave? It's really important you do this. Stop making excuses. We all are really good at making excuses. Stop making excuses. Start making goals. Start setting reminders. Start being intentional and choose to make your marriage a priority. Thank you so much to the lady who suggested this podcast. I had a lot of fun putting it together, and it was such a great reminder for myself too. I learn from my own podcasts as I'm studying. And in fact, there's that saying that the teacher often is the greatest learner. And I agree, because as I do these podcasts and I study, I'm like, Trini, you need to be better at this. And Trini, you need to be better at this. And it's great. It pushes me and I love it. So ladies, thank you so much. And gentlemen, if you have joined me today, thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing to be intentional in your life and in your marriage. And if you find that this podcast has been helpful, once again, I know I say this a lot, but it really does help if you leave me a review. And I really appreciate when I get on there and see a few added reviews on the different platforms I'm on. I'm like, oh, this is so good. But it's so fun too to watch the numbers behind the scenes. And I am honored to know that so many of you are choosing to tune in and listen to me weekly. I really do appreciate that. So remember, you are the author of your story. You are creating your story. Your story will be adjusted through life as life starts to happen, but we have the choice how we're going to react to it. Choose to be intentional. Thanks so much, and we will chat at you next week.